try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Man, tough crowd today, huh? I know it's raining and you're all sleepy, but you know, just good morning. So anyway, we have a couple announcements. First is we have mops this week. So because we have mops and moms next, we need all the chairs stacked, and we need probably about 8 or 9 tables brought up for those ministries, helping the moms to get set up for everything they need to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for the love that you've given us. We thank you for placing us here at this time to learn more about you. Lord, I pray for our country. I pray that as we move forward and as we come upon this election, I just pray, Lord, that your will be done. Pray that whoever the candidate is that makes it into office, that they work diligently to protect our religious freedom so that we can come and worship you. We're just thankful that we live in a country that is free, and we just pray that things like that stay that way. So we pray your will would be done. I just pray now that as we spend time learning about what you have to say in your word in regards to prayer, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to keep our minds focused, keep our hearts open to what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're in the series, Learning to Pray, and 3 weeks ago we learned 5 character traits that are true of God the Father in order for us to pray better to Him. 2 weeks ago we learned 3 things that we might need to change in our lives when we come to pray. Last week we learned about losing ourselves to God in prayer. And then today, and then for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on God's answers to prayer. God's answers to prayer, and the issues that we're going to deal with mostly today are this. Are there times when God does not listen to our prayers? Are there times when God does not hear our prayers, because God hears and knows everything, but are there times when God does not listen, when his ear is turned from us? So if you remember last week, the last point I talked about when I was talking about losing ourselves in prayer was that we need to be contrite, which being contrite is a feeling or expressing of remorse, in particular over our sin. James 4:8-9 talks about that. So when coming to the Lord in prayer, we need to admit sin and we need to confess sin. Now, the question then is, what if we don't? What if we come to the Lord in prayer and we don't admit whatever sin that we're holding on to and we don't confess it? Does God just look at us and say, oh, well, sin is no big deal? Well, I would suggest that God does not look at sin in that way. And the reason why I know that God does not look at sin in that way and doesn't think that sin is no big deal, because I see what happened to Christ on the cross. When you see what happened to Christ on the cross, Christ being literally executed on our behalf for our sins. That execution was placed upon him by God the Father, because sin is a big deal. Sin needed to be and needs to be paid for. So when Christ was hanging on that cross, he was actually paying the price for our sins. The wrath of God was on him. He was paying the price for our sins in our place. Some of you might remember way back in Romans when I talked about this. He took our sinfulness upon himself and gave us his righteousness when we believed. So the Bible tells us that Christ was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. And all who believe will have eternal life. So we see, when we look at the picture of the cross, we have to realize sin is a big deal to God. So much so that he was willing to allow his son to die on our behalf to pay for our sins. So never look at sin and say it's no big deal. God never looks at sin and says sin's no big deal. If maybe this is one of your first times here at the church, one of the things you have to know about us is we truly believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And that is the only way that we get to heaven. It's not about being good. It's not about going to church. It's no good works can save a person, but only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith in that can save a person. So now I'm going to assume you believe that. You're here this morning. I'm going to assume I am a Christian. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. So if I assume that, I'm also going to assume this, because this is true of all believers, we still sin. We still sin. Our sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. But you know what? Sometimes in our sin, we hold on to certain sinful behaviors, don't we? We continue to commit sins in, you know, maybe a pattern, maybe we hold on to them, maybe a habit of our sins. So what you have to realize is this. As a Christian, sin can do some serious damage to our lives and to our relationships. Would you agree with that? Sin can do serious damage to our lives and to our relationships. But did you know this? That the scriptures actually teach that when we hold on to sin and we go to God and make requests to Him in prayer, He may not listen. Did you know that? Did you know that God may not listen if we're living a sinful pattern or lifestyle or holding on to a sin? Listen to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 says it this way. You don't have to turn there. What I will ask you to turn to is Psalm 66, so if you want to get there. But Isaiah 59 says this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or His ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your sins have made a separation between you and God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Now, that's kind of it's a hard verse to hear, isn't it? That's kind of a hard verse to hear, because what this is saying is sin could make God turn His ear from listening to us. So if you turn to Psalm 66, that I want you to turn to, Psalm 66, starting in verse 16. Psalm 66, verse 16 says this. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. So the psalmist is saying, come and hear, I want to tell you what God has done for my soul. Verse 17 says, I cried to Him with my mouth, and a high praise was on my tongue. Listen to verse 18. He says, if I had cherished iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You hear that? If I cherished iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. So now, what is this saying? Well, the emphasis is on verse 18, where he says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So what does that mean, cherished? Well, cherished is simply this, protect or care for. So the idea here is that when we're entrenched in some type of sin and we're protecting it and caring for it, that the Lord may turn His ear from listening to our prayers. Like I said, He hears, but He might turn His ear from listening because we're spending so much time protecting and caring for that sin. So now you ask yourself, okay, what's that mean, protecting and caring for sin? You know, there's some sins in your life where you're like, maybe you're not willing to call it sin. Okay, yeah, it's not that bad. Okay, I'm going to justify it. Or, hey, realistically, some sin is fun, right? I mean, it wouldn't be tempting if it wasn't fun. If it was like eating some nasty vegetables or something, nobody would want to do it, right? But sin sometimes is fun. So basically, what the psalmist is saying is, hey, listen, sometimes in life you might get into a pattern where you're trying to protect your sin. You're living in that sin. You don't want to give it up. You don't want to give it over to God. And God is saying this, hey, listen, you know what? When you come to me and the first request on your heart and from your lips is not, God, help me with this sin, God might actually say, you know what? No, I'm not going to listen. Right now, I'm not going to listen, and I'm not going to pay attention to that request because you have business that you failed to take care of with me. So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at six attitudes or behaviors that we may cherish that cause God not to listen. You get that? Six attitudes or behaviors, like sinful types of things, that we may cherish, protect, continue to do that may cause God not to listen. So the first attitude or behavior that may cause God not to listen is hypocrisy. Matthew 6, 5. You don't have to do it. I'm going to say a lot of verses. You can just jot them down. But Matthew 6, 5 says this. It's this way. Jesus says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So now what Jesus is saying is, you know what? Sometimes we hold on to hypocrisy. We care more what people think than what we really are. So rather than working on what we really are and how we really live, we work on the external. So in this passage, the hypocrite is a person who's acting so others see them as something they are really not. And in this case, they're pretending to be religious, or even worse, someone who actually knows the Lord. They're pretending to be someone who has a relationship with the Lord. Which leads us to this question is, are there religious people that do not know the Lord? What do you think? Are there religious people that do? Yeah, Jesus actually talks to these people. Jesus actually says in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, which is very difficult to hear sometimes, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Wait, what? And somebody, maybe you're, is that me? Is that me? Like, am I going to get to that day? And Jesus is going to be like, oh, I didn't know you. Does God not listen to the prayers of people? What's this talking about? Well, here's the thing. This is about people who are hypocrites, who are people that are just doing this for show. There's no real true faith there. And these are the people that Jesus will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. You were painting this picture of yourself as a religious person, but you didn't truly have a relationship with me. You didn't trust in me. But then we have to ask ourselves this. Okay, if that's not me, I truly trust in Jesus. Are there times when we're hypocritical in our prayers? And those times might just be when we publicly pray. Maybe we're spending too much time thinking about what other people think, making our language prayer type language that people are going to be impressed by. And we get up and we're maybe in a Bible study or something like that, and we're like so worried about what people think about what we say. And it's not prayer anymore. It's kind of like just some kind of public proclamation. Which kind of really gets me into the second reason why God might not listen. He might not listen because we're hypocrites, okay? We're doing it for show, but he also might not listen because of our empty words. And this is more talking to unbelieving as well. But in Matthew 6, 7, it says this, and when you pray, do not heap on empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. So the next thing we have to understand is empty words. God does not care to listen to empty prayers that have no heart to them. God does not care to listen to that. They're empty phrases. See, this is my personal conviction, and I don't want to put it off on anybody else, but this is part of the reason why I don't make people pray publicly. Meaning this, it's not wrong to pray publicly. Some people might say, oh, it's wrong. No, the Bible teaches corporate prayer, okay? That's acceptable in the scriptures. But I personally don't make people pray out loud, meaning if I'm in a Bible study, I won't say, hey, you, pray now, okay? The reason why I don't do that is I don't want to put the person in an awkward position where empty words might come out, where hypocrisy might come out. If they volunteer to pray, I'll say, anybody want to volunteer? Want to volunteer to pray? Want to volunteer to open and close? And I'm not saying it's wrong if you call on somebody to pray, but what I am saying is my personal conviction is, hey, you know what? I'm not going to ask people to pray because I don't want them to feel that pressure. Some people choose not to pray out loud and may live their whole life with never praying out loud before other people, and that's fine. Because actually Jesus talks about, you know what, when you pray, go into secret, go spend time with your Father. You know, Martin Luther, when he talks about prayer, he said this, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. And then he goes on to say, to have prayed well is to have studied well. Now, in probably 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to talk about like practical tips for praying. And one of those practical tips is actually praying along with the scriptures. So what Luther's saying is when you're in that place, that quiet place, like Jesus said, go in your closet, pray, like where there's no distractions. Read and listen to me. Listen to me. It's not about how much you can say. It's about what I want to say to you. So the concept Luther is teaching is prayer shouldn't be filling the air with empty words, but it should be studying his word and praying and listening to his direction. Like I've said this before and I'll say it again. So many people say, oh, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Pastor Mike, what's God's will for my life? It's like, well, get into the word and start praying and reading and find out what God has. I can't spoon feed you all your life. The scriptures tell us you have to grow up and eat your meat, eat the regular food. You have to get into God's word and start really just listening to him and then talking back to him. See, we have to remember this, that prayer, we have to remember this. We have a relationship with God, right? And prayer should be the natural outworking of that relationship. How do you talk to the people that are around you? How do you talk to the loved ones in your home? I'm not saying the mean things you say to them, okay? I'm saying the nice things. How do you talk and interact with your loved ones at home? Now think about this. If God is our loving Father, how do you talk with him? Now, I don't know what type of upbringing you had, but I was brought up in an upbringing where they taught us rote prayers, repetitious rote prayers where you memorized. And we memorized prayers, and I'm not saying anything bad about those prayers. Some of them are actually right from the Bible, but some of them were, you know, very biblical. So I learned these prayers, but at a very young age, I realized you can get through prayers a lot quicker if you say them quicker. Right? Say your prayers, Michael. Okay. Okay, I'd say my prayers. My prayers are done. When I first trusted in Jesus and I heard people pray like as if they had a relationship, I was like, what? You can say whatever you want? Are you kidding me? But then here's the thing. Then you realize, okay, this is a relationship. Now think, like, let's take this into a marriage. Imagine, men, you had this paragraph that you had prepared, and every time your wife came, every time you came home from work, your wife said, hey honey, how was your day? And you were like, blah, 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 and she was like, okay. And then you just walked away and sat on the couch and watched TV. Some of you guys are like, dude, that would be awesome. Okay, I never have to talk more than that. Okay, what type of relationship is that? Women, would you want your husband to just prepare something and say the same thing year after year, day after day for years and years and years and decades? No. Where's the relationship? And like I said, I'm not saying some of the prayers that I learned were bad, but if the prayer becomes empty words, does God even care to hear that? I mean, he hears it, but does he care to listen? Because he's looking at our hearts. Which brings us to the next attitude or behavior that may cause us not, it may cause God not to listen, and that's wrong motives. We talked about this last week. In James 4, it says this, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, last week we talked about this. This is a concept of selfish prayers, trying to use God. When do you go to God? Only when you need something? Do you realize that we don't go to God in prayer just because we need something? We go to God in prayer because he desires to hear from us. That will revolutionize your prayer life to know that the God of this universe is just waiting to hear you by your name because he loves you, because you're his child. You know, oftentimes we just go to him because we're in need, right? Dad, I need something now. That's your motive. And you know what? Sometimes God's just like, you know what? You don't come to me. You don't pay any attention to me. You're protecting the sin in your life. But when you need something, oh, now you're coming to me. Now you're coming to me. And some of you, that's the game you play with God, right? It's like you abuse God. Like, where are you? And you know what? I've talked to so many people that are like, you know what? I've asked God and he didn't even listen to me. Or he never answered my prayer. And it's like, well, you know what? Your motives are a little messed up here. Because you seem to even not pursue a relationship with God in any area. You don't really go to him in prayer because he desires to hear from you. You go to him in prayer because you think he's like a genie in a bottle and, you know, he's just going to give you whatever you want. The next kind of goes along with that. The next attitude or behavior that may cause God not to listen is just sheer disobedience. Just disobedience. Proverbs 28:9 says this way, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. See what that's saying? You turn away from what God wants you to do, listening to him, he might turn his ear from listening to you. Anybody parent teenagers here? Anyone? Okay. Listen to me, and I'll listen to you. Disobey, things aren't going to go well. I'll give you, any teenagers here, any young teenagers here that are dealing with parents, I'm going to give you something gold right here, okay? Gold. You could tweet this if you want, okay? Listen to your parents. It's going to go well, okay? Do you know the Bible actually says that? It actually says your life will be longer. You know why? Your parents do have some power, okay? They do. Here's the thing. In life, a lot of times, we don't look at God like that. We just think, oh, he's supposed to listen to us, but we don't have to listen to him. God does not expect us to be perfect. Do you realize that? He doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us not to ignore what he says. So when we ignore what the Lord desires, we can't expect him to listen. The answer to our, we can't expect him to listen and answer our prayers that we offer up. He does not solely, let me just tell you this, he does not solely answer our prayers based upon obedience, but I can tell you what James 5:16 says. Some of you might know this. It says the prayer of the righteous person has great power and is working. You know what that means? One, we're righteous because Jesus made us righteous, but those that are trying to obey, looking to follow him, the prayers of those righteous people has great power. Do you know what? God turns his ear and says, what? Okay, here's one of my kids that's actually trying to follow me. Here's one of my kids that actually cares what I say and cares what I think. You know, so many people, I mean, if I had a dime for every person that comes to me and says, oh, you know, nothing's going well, and then I pray and nothing happens, it's like, it's because you don't listen. That's your problem. You don't care what God has to say. You don't care to obey him. You just care about your own needs being met, and you will continue in your disobedience. And when you happen upon some blessing, you're just like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to continue on. I guess I'm going to do this. See, but our obedience, I don't know if you thought about this, but our obedience has much to do with our prayer life because it says something about our faith. Listen to what the author Edwin Lewis Cole said. He said, obedience is an act of faith. Disobedience is a result of unbelief. If you really believe what God says, you will tune your ear into obeying him. Because you're going to say, okay, he's right. God told me not to do this. God's right. I have faith that God's right. But as soon as we're disobedient, we're actually displaying that we don't really believe that God is right. So basically we're saying, God, I know you said don't do this, but it is really fun. God, I know you said don't do this, but I really like to do that. God, I know you said, so basically what you're saying is I don't really believe you, God. I don't really believe you, God. Which brings us to the next attitude or behavior that may cause God not to listen. And that is simply lacking faith. James 1:6-8 talks about this. He says, but let him who asks in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded person, unstable in his ways. So you know what that's saying? When you ask, ask in faith. Don't lack faith. It's interesting because it's suggesting that God may turn his ear from us because we really don't believe that he can do this. I know for me, this one hits close to home a lot of times. And here's the reason why. Sometimes I fall into a trap, and you might fall into this trap as well. I know I'm supposed to believe God can do this, but this really seems impossible. Okay? I'm dealing with this situation. I'm dealing with this person. And I know I'm supposed to believe that God can take care of this, but I'm just struggling with believing because I can't imagine it. For instance, people in my life that are not Christians, praying, Lord, I believe that they can become Christians. I believe that if they have faith in you, they will become Christians. But Lord, I'm just not seeing this. I couldn't even imagine it. I couldn't even fathom this person actually like saying, like, I love Jesus. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Or there's situations where they seem so hopeless and so helpless that I'm like, do I really believe that God can do anything? But this is what I have to say to myself, and this is what you need to say to yourself as well. When you find yourself in situations where it seems that things are impossible and can never change, we have to remember two things. The first is this, Matthew 19:26. What did Jesus say? With man, this is impossible. But with God, some things are impossible? Or some things are possible? No. With God, all things are possible. I have to remind myself of that. When I see that unsaved person that is not a Christian yet, it is possible that they could become a Christian. When I see a situation where it doesn't seem like healing can happen, all things are possible with God. See, sometimes we can't imagine this. We can't, and it displays our lack of faith. So the first is we have to realize all things are possible with God. And you know what happens then? When you start to realize all things are possible with God, there are situations in your life that you're not at peace with that you want to see changed. And maybe the possible that God gives you is you will be at peace with it. God will put something on your heart to say, you know what? I know you're upset about this. I know you're sad about this. I know this rocked your world, but I'm going to give you peace. You don't think that's possible, but I'm going to do it. And he does it in your life. The second thing we need to remember is this. Do not lose faith because what you have been praying for has not happened. This is, you know, back to a few weeks ago. We have to be faith-filled. Just because what you were asking didn't happen doesn't mean you should lose faith. Doesn't mean you should lose faith. So whatever happened in your life, whoever you lost, whatever situation, whatever's going against you, what you have to realize is this. You know what? I'm not going to base my faith in God based upon an experience. Have you ever read the scriptures? Have you ever read the Old Testament? I mean, there's a lot of the Old Testament, and there's a lot of really bad stuff that happened to a lot of really seemingly nice people, okay? Take Job, for instance. How many people want to be in his shoes? Yeah, I would love 40-some-odd chapters about my suffering. Anyone? Anyone? No, I don't think so. But the truth of the matter is Job didn't base his faith on his situation. He based his faith on who God is. And I'll just tell you this. When we lack faith, God sees and says, there's one of my kids that doesn't believe I can do it. We don't handcuff God. It doesn't mean he can't do it because we don't believe that he can do it. But in some cases, maybe he's saying, I'm not listening to that. My kid doesn't believe that I'm going to do it, and I'm not listening to it. And the final attitude and behavior that may cause God not to listen is how we treat other people. Now, this is a big one. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, listen up. It says this, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing her honor, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Listen to this. It says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And some of you wives are sitting in this room saying, my husband's prayers are hindered because he does not treat me well. I hope that's not the case. But what this passage is actually teaching is just what it says. Husbands, if you don't treat your wives the right way, the father might turn his ear from you. But now let's apply this to every relationship. Let's think about this. Let's think about this for a second. How we treat other people may deem how much God actually listens to us. On two accounts. One is his children. Everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior are his children. Okay, so now we are all siblings. Shouldn't we treat each other well? Any of you who have multiple children, if one sibling does something to the other sibling that's mean, that hurts them, what do you do as a parent? Do you look at the sibling that was hurt and say, ha-ha, I'm glad that happened to you because you're annoying sometimes too? No, you don't do that, okay? You reprimand the child that did the offense against the offended. You know what? When God looks at us and sees us not treating one another right, do you think he's going to be like, oh, you know what? It's no big deal. But then it's on two counts. Because although those who don't believe in Jesus are not called God's children, they're still God's creation. Remember John 3:16, God so loves who? The world. God loves other people. You know, that's why it drives me nuts in the media. And if you haven't noticed this yet in the media, They grab things and they tell you what they want you to hear, and they paint pictures that they want to paint. And has anybody noticed the picture they've painted of Christians? Has anyone? Yeah, it's not nice, okay? It's not nice to us, is it? And here's the issue. When they paint that picture of these Christians, I don't even know any of these Christians. I don't even know any of them, because all the Christians I know are people that love Jesus and love one another and love other people. But the media will take the Christians that are, and I'm going to say in air quotes, the Christians that are boycotting a funeral or something to that effect. And they'll be like, look, this is what the Christians are doing. And then we have to look and say, you know, it's not for me to judge, but those don't seem like God's children. They're not treating other human beings the way that God would want them to treat them. They're not treating fellow Christians, if in fact they are a Christian, the way that they should be treated. See, God, he means business. Okay? So when we don't treat each other right, don't expect God is going to bow to every one of your requests if you don't even have the decency to treat his children the way that he desires us to treat his children, and to treat his creation the way he desires us to treat his creation. So what do we do? I don't want to just leave you there. I know this is like one of those, a little bit of a downer type message, but you know what? Sometimes God needs us to hear certain things. And if we're protecting and cherishing sin in our life that's causing God to turn his ear from us, God wants us to wake up so we don't do that and actually turn to him. So what do? I want you to turn to 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Then we're going to celebrate communion after that. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. It says this, "For this is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," this is important, "if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So what do we need to do? We need to stop cherishing or protecting sinful patterns in our life. John calls this walking in the light rather than walking in darkness. If you know what the scriptures say, it says, what does light have to do with darkness? So basically, there's two things that we really need to do when we come to the Lord. First and foremost, when we come to him in prayer, admit sin, confess sin. Like I said before, all our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, as a believer. But you know what? If we're holding on to some kind of sin, we admit it, we call it sin, and we confess it. And when we do, we're actually turning towards the Father. And guess what? He's turning towards us. He's turning towards us. So today we celebrate communion. And what better day to celebrate communion than on the heels of a message like this? Because realistically, we have two things that we do when we celebrate communion. One is we remember what Jesus has done for us, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for us, that all who believe will have eternal life.